All right, today we're going to study, finally, the ashes of the red heifer. Anything to do with death was that which separated you from God. In the law, even if you went to a funeral, or you were in the same room with someone that had died, or you touched someone that was in that room with the person that died, you were automatically defiled because that death separated you from God. And anything that touched it, it included, you couldn't walk over a bone. It was the ceremony that produced the greatest awe of everything that Israel did, because it happened. Nobody could understand it, but they knew that something was going on, because there was a sense of freedom after the ceremony, which took place for the individual. There was a sense of, there was an emotional response to the ashes, being sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer. Now, and so it required the greatest efficacy of anything of the unclean. That's why this whole ceremony, the ashes of the red heifer. Now, the scriptures say that we're dead. The human race is dead. And so from the standpoint of that, we are death incarnate. And so the whole mystery about Christ is, and this is where we come to this total abandonment of self, is so vital in this mystery of God. There's a scripture, let's go to Job 14. But my point is, Levitically, the human race is unclean because they've touched a dead body themselves. Now, Job says, this is the exact, in verse, chapter 14, verse 4. It says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. And so death is the greatest defiler. There's nothing greater in the law that defiles more than having touched the dead body. And so this whole ceremony of the ashes of the red heifer is about being cleansed from that act of being in the presence of or touching death. The red heifer is the only communal sacrifice that's a female, it's a sheep. It's a heifer. And we're going to go through this whole mystery of how there were only 7 red heifers in history. And the container that the ashes were kept in was made from the dung of the heifer. You can imagine only 7 in history. And it wasn't just that those 7, it was that it, how can I say this? Your act of being freed from this uncleanness had to include some of the ashes from the very first heifer. So that when they got the ashes from the new heifer that they had then they mixed them, and so symbolically, or at least probably really, you got when the stick was dipped into the container of the ashes, and then it got some of all the ashes that were in the container. Now the question is, what does this have to do with us? Well, it has everything to do with us, because without understanding it, you will never understand the mystery of God. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? And the question is, not one, not man, no man. We are Levitically unclean by definition. So who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? Only God. And that's by Christ in you is the only hope of glory. And this is why the abandonment of self must be till total. Because every time you go back to self for any reason, when you go back to self by using your mind, when you go back to self, then once again, you are clean. Now, if you've ever known people that were depressed all the time and they didn't even know they were depressed, and so they didn't know, they had no basis for the joy of not being depressed. Well, for most of the human race, they have touched the dead body, so they're unclean all the time. So they have no way of understanding what true joy is. Is this interesting to anybody but me?
Is clean a physical phenomena or just a spiritual reality?
There's no difference. Everything is spiritual.
Is that the answer?
Yeah, I mean it's part of the mystery that God showed to Moses on the Mount. So either everything is spiritual or nothing is.
So by this ceremony, and when you get some water sprinkled on you, or what is happening?
Well, we'll go into the details of it. I just want to create in you the hunger to want to understand this. Because there has to be some aspect of the red heifer today. Otherwise, we couldn't even get to any of the offerings, because these are the things that happened before you were even eligible to do the sin offering and the trespass offering and the meal offering and the burnt offering or the peace offering. Now, right now, I'm saying to you, this, whether we study this in any detail is up to you. I'm not interested in teaching on this if everybody isn't interested in it. And don't be afraid to say it's fine not to be interested in it. I mean, there's no judgment. It's just, anybody have any response?
I'm interested.
Well, what, Sue?
I'm not really interested. I'm sorry, I'm just not interested.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Tom?
For me, this feels like, you know, the continuation of examining the Passover sacrifice, so I'm interested in it because I want to examine that sacrifice as clearly as I can.
Well, this has nothing to do with
it.
Passover.
Like you haven't talked about it yet. I realize it has nothing to do with Passover, but Jesus is that sacrifice, and that's, I assume this has something to do with that.
So. Right, but Jesus is much more. I mean, it's much more. It's much more. It is Jesus, but it has to include us to be part of that red heifer. Otherwise, we are the red heifer.
I figured that it wouldn't be female otherwise. And so yeah, I'm interested. And if I haven't articulated correctly exactly why I'm interested, it's because you haven't told me anything about it.
Anybody else?
I'm curious.
You,
oh, yeah.
You're interested?
Sure.
What about the Bojos?
I'm not a part of this poll.
You're not what?
I want to be a part of, I want to be polled here. I don't want to.
Simple question. I don't know.
I don't know where it's going. I don't want it to go where it's been the last couple of days.
It might.
I understand that. That's why I have no, that's why I stand here this way. I understand that. I'm not going to be the one.
All right. There's enough interest, we'll do it. What? What was that about?
I'm sorry, nothing.
We didn't vote. I took a poll to see whether the majority would be interested or not.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're good. Let's do it.
Well, it's not all right. I want to find out what's going on. Why would you think that's funny?
Because I concluded that we would, in my mind, thought we would be there before you, as soon as you asked the question. It was foregone. It was a given. We were going to go there.
No, it wasn't.
Well, I thought that it was. That's why I laughed when you said that. I apologize.
If nothing else will produce zeal, the understanding of this will. Now, it said that who who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And there, it said in the scriptures that everything that will be, that was done or will be done in the days of Messiah in the Torah, will each, every part of it has been done in the Torah, in the Old Testament. No one did it all, but, you know, Elijah, well, we won't go through them all, but he was murdered, and we talked about this. He was murdered in Abel, and he was sold as a slave, and Joseph, on and on and on. So in this, the question is, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Or so who can do something in the prophets or the law that was done by Messiah, or is done by Messiah? Abraham came out of Terah. Terah was considered unclean. Hezekiah came out of Ahaz, his father. Ahaz was one of the most evil kings there ever was. Josiah came out of Amon, another evil king. Mordecai came out of Shimei. Israel came out of idolaters.
Who was Shimei?
Shimei.
Yeah, who was that?
He was the father of Mordecai.
No, I mean, but what would make him so bad? I didn't recognize the name from something.
Well, he was just totally evil. I mean, we can...
Okay.
When we study Mordecai, I mean, when we study... Yeah, when we study... Remember who Mordecai was?
Yeah, I remember Mordecai Esther. You know?
Right.
I couldn't remember hearing anything about Shimei that made him a bad guy.
All right, well, we probably didn't discuss it lately, but if we did it first, when we first studied this. Well, anyway, then Israel came out of idolaters. But the mystery now is Christ came out of you, or comes out of you, because of his resurrection, and the new Jerusalem comes out of the world. So there are at least... In the Old Testament, there are 5 examples of how a clean thing can come out of unclean. And that's more than most of these types of Christ in the Old Testament. And so it should give us some understanding how important this is. Now, you remember in leprosy, if there was a spot the size of a chickpea that was leprous, you were unclean. until you are totally leprous, then you're declared clean. Now here, if you walked or stepped on or walked over a bone from a dead animal, that you were unclean. And so the cleansing ceremony for leprosy, the cleansing ceremony for this, the cleansing ceremony for a woman caught in adultery or accused of adultery is similar. All of these are purification ceremonies that happen before you even get to the sin offering, or the trespass offering. So you're not even allowed in the temple, anywhere near the temple complex, until you have been cleansed from touching a dead body. Now it's my contention that all of us are dead. That's not mine, it's the scriptures. And all of in that death, it's really defined as from a spiritual standpoint, it's defined as separation from God. Total separation. No matter what you do, no matter how many ceremonies you do, no matter how many times you come to Bible study, until there is a apprehension of your death in you and the resurrection of Christ, it's just a bunch of gibberish. It's just a philosophy. Now, let's assume for the second that this wild assumption that I'm right about this, that the human race is Levitically unclean because of death. And that as long as believers, no matter how many times they go to church, how many times they, whatever they do, as long as they're still giving breath to the body, to the self, they are unclean because they have touched a dead body. So they can't even get to the apprehension of the offerings. You understand? It's not having nothing to do with saved or not, because you're still in the world or in Babylon, hiding under the blood, waiting for Messiah to come. And that means you're spiritually a child. But I want you to have the full, and it's not something else, I don't believe that, so it's not important. It doesn't matter what you believe about it. You have reached a point where it's impossible because of that separation that exists, whether you believe it or not. It has robbed you of peace of mind and the joy which is yours, which is your inheritance. And the peace of mind and the rest and the confidence and everything else. And you can talk about it philosophically, but in the day-to-day activity, you're going to still walk this world in the way of the course of the power of the air. You're going to continue on, and there'll be nobody will be able to tell you from a Gentile as a difference, including you. Everybody understand? Or at least a little bit?
This is kind of leading to apprehension.
But it's more than apprehension, because it's confession. Because it's the red, the symbolic of where the body, the Seder, is symbolic of the red heifer. When you confess your fault one to another, then you shall be made whole. Physically and, well, yeah. Actually it says you shall be made perfect.
Which is what salvation is about.
But again, we have to always go back to the purpose of sanctification is the renewal of your mind. so that there is total emptiness, abandonment of self. It's always the case. All right. These are just some. A woman whose infant died in the womb, if the midwife puts her hand in and touches the infant that died, the midwife is unclean for 7 days. And the woman is clean until the dead embryo comes out. Then she's unclean. When a dead body is in the house or the mother's womb, the house is clean, but when it comes out, the house is unclean. The person engaged in any part of the preparation of the red heifer from beginning to end is unclean. Yet this heifer that he's preparing, the ashes, makes him clean.
So unclean is just a function of any association with the flesh or the dead separated.
It's any association with the flesh separates you from God. Well, remember, there are a whole bunch of things that make you unclean.
Yeah, but the state of
this one is death.
Okay, but the unclean means?
Unclean means it means that somehow it's the script, for the Old Testament, it meant you were separated from God and the brethren. But there were many things that made you unclean. It wasn't only death.
So this is very critical.
It's super critical. Death is the major one that makes you unclean. Well, for the other, huh?
Well, your own dead body or someone else's dead body.
Right, or going to a funeral.
Yeah.
Or having the resurrected Christ as he was walking the earth in your house and made everybody there unclean.
The odd thing is that if you have leprosy all over your whole body, you're considered dead, and therefore you're clean.
Right.
So, you know, death made you clean at that point. Right. Leprosy made you unclean. Death made you clean instead of the other way around.
Well, it's not death that made you clean. It's the confession of your unsuitableness that made you clean.
Well, you would say it was, at the point where you can be declared dead and you can be declared clean.
But no, not declared dead when you declare totally white with leprosy.
Right.
It's with total leprosy made you, once you recognize your leprosy is total, then you're unclean. I mean, then you're clean.
But you had explained that previously to say that that was equivalent to being dead.
No, I don't remember that.
All right. When you recognize that you were completely leprous from head to foot, that you were accepting your own death.
All right, well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that because
I remember very weird things at very weird times. That's just why.
All right. And this whole section, including which we'll read the next time we meet, but is Numbers 19. And it's that section dealing with the heifer. It contains 7 mentions of 7 things. It contains the heifer 7 times, the burning 7 times, how it sprinkles 7 times, the washing 7 times, the uncleanness 7 times, the cleanness 7 times, and the priests 7 times. And so there's in the certain aspects of Judaism, that 7 sevens, it makes this mind-bendingly important. It's the same as why the counting of the Omer is so important. It's 7 times 7, 49. And the 7, it's completeness.
That'd be like the fullness of time.
Well, it's like that, but it's really out. It can't be understood except out of time. So anyway, The leper was cleansed by the aid of the tallest of the tall trees, which was the cedar of Lebanon, and with the lowest of the low trees. He had exalted himself like the cedar, and he had humbled himself like the hyssop. Now, Solomon said, "All things I have fully comprehended, but as regards to the red heifer, I have examined, investigated, and inquired. I said, I will get wisdom from God, but it was far from me." According to the Ecclesiastes and according to a lot of writings, this ashes of the understanding of the ashes of the red heifer, he was never able to comprehend it. Now, I don't know that we have, but I have an opinion about it. So. Well, that's a good place to stop. And again, I will tell you, if you're not interested, I would suggest that you not come for a time, because it's going to get detailed. It's not, I'm nothing against you. I'm not saying if you don't want to hear it, you shouldn't.
It's part of the, okay. You took a poll. So, I thought about it. Okay. It's not going to be a hot topic for me that I'm going to go research. But there's stuff in here that, I can learn something. Even if you're not interested in something, you can learn something.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just asking. I just wanted you to say you're free from this. You should not, well, and no one should feel any compulsion to come to Bible study. Okay?
I understand.
All right. Take it, big guy.